Hallelujah. Amen. How many of you like to wait? You know, just wait. See, somebody's shaking their head no. Wait. I don't know if that's what life is about. Wait. Yeah. You ever been in this predicament before? You know, you get in. You get behind. You're in a hurry. I got to be honest with you, you know. That happens to me once in a while. Colleen's been waiting for me for an hour at the office here. And I get in my car and I rush over here. And it happens every time. Somebody that has all the day to do whatever they want to do, and they're right in front of me, and I got a double yellow line, and I can't get around them. Wait. 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 Most of us experience that. Of course, how we react, that's really counts, but we won't go that direction. Yeah. Or how about this one here? I like this one here. Yeah. How about making that important phone call? You know, we all got one of these machines called a cell phone. At least most of us do. We call and we get usually what? A machine. Especially if it's important. We get a machine, you know. Machine says, if you live within the USA, press 1. Beep. If you want English, press 2. If you have a complaint, press 3. Beep. If you have bad breath, just hang up. Well, you know. Finally, you press all those buttons, and you get another recording which says, your wait time will be approximately 10 minutes. Yeah. So you wait 10 minutes, and you're waiting. You're on hold. And finally you get to the final destination. And what happens? You get another recording. I'm not able to come to the phone right now. If you leave your name, address, and number in a short message, I'll return your call as soon as I can. Wait. Wait. What do you do when you have to wait? What do you think when you have to wait? Do you like to wait? How about this one? You take your family out to eat. The fast food, of course, because, you know, life is busy. You drive up to a place, say, like maybe Taco Bell, and you place your order, and you want to order your order. I want spicy potato tacos, please. They're kind of yummy. You get several, that's hard to say, and I look at a person, health person over here on my left. But anyway, so you get several people in the car, and you take all their orders, and you get them to the person taking the orders, and then you pay for that order, and pretty soon the order comes, and hands the order to you, and you go through it, and everything is there except the spicy potatoes taco. It's not there. And she says, well, just drive with her and park, and we'll bring it out to you. Wait. Wait. You like to wait? Do you like to be put on hold? Huh? How about this? Does that look familiar at all? You're at a store, clothing store, grocery store, Walmart, whatever you might call it, Kmart, wherever you might shop. You wait in line now, it seems like for forever, and someone ahead of you all of a sudden needs a price check. Yeah. You know what that's like? Somebody comes, takes the item, runs back, and you're waiting. Wait. Wait. Takes them 15 minutes. And they get back, and they got the price check, and they got it all. And then the person gets ready to pay for it. And what do? They pull out their piggy bank and hammer and open up the piggy bank to pay for it. Well, I'm a little exaggerating, I know. But wait. Just wait. I know. Wait. You get the message yet? Yeah. We are constantly waiting, whether we're at a traffic light, or we're stuck in traffic, or at the dentist, or the doctor's office. Wait. 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 We have been given items in today's world that are fast. Like the cell phone. It's fast. The fax machine. It's quick. The microwave. We just put it in there and we have our meal in a couple minutes. You know? 10 minutes without electricity drives us nuts. Yeah. Whenever the operator puts us on hold, we feel that we've been deprived. What about God when he puts you on hold? How do you react? How do you feel? You just prayed to God. You know God will answer your prayer, but he says, wait. Wait. How do you handle the situation when God says, wait? Psalms 27, verse 14 says, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. That's what the Bible says. And that's easy. That's easy to say. It's easy to preach. Just wait on the Lord. It's easy to preach. That is, if you're not the ones waiting. Tell that to the person who just lost a loved one. Or the person has been told that their lifelong spouse has just given them the message that they're leaving and will not come back. Tell that to the parent whose child is suffering, or to a young person who has lived through a midst of abuse. Tell that the person getting the bad news from the doctor. What do you do when God puts you on hold? What do you do? Because we all have experienced it. Jesus does not always answer immediately. Not always. He puts us on hold. Let's take a look at Matthew 15. Matthew 15, verses 21 and 24. I want to go through these verses. It starts out that when Jesus went out from there, he departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. Now, this is very interesting because, you know, Jesus had just finished another conflict with the Pharisees, this time they were accusing him that the disciples were eating without washing their hands. You know, his disciples and him could do nothing right. However, that was not the only purpose for taking this journey. You see, Jesus wanted to take this journey into this foreign land to teach the disciples another lesson, to show that their mission was going to be broader soon, broader than the land of Israel. So he goes outside the borders of Israel, about 50 miles, the land of the Gentiles, the Canaanites, the heathen temples, the idolaters, and they despised and they were hated by the Jews. And according to Mark 7, it says that they went to a house and they're sitting down on a meal, likely a Jewish home because the Jews did live in some of those other countries. And can you picture in your mind, they're sitting down at this meal, eating, and probably some children are playing on the floor, and they had a little puppy. And I picture as they're eating, some of the crumbs kind of fell off the table. The little puppy's over there, and he's just as excited as anybody, you know, because he's eating those crumbs up. His tail's wagging. Well, that's not true. A puppy tail wags, his whole body wags. Yeah, he's excited. The kids are giggling, having lots of fun. And all of a sudden, there appears this Canaanite woman coming to Jesus and begging. Verse 22 says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed.'" She is begging Jesus for help. And she addresses Jesus as Lord, Son of David. Now, come on. She is a Canaanite. She is not a worshiper of the true God. She worships idols. They had many, many, many gods. And up to this point, of course, those gods never answered her prayer. And so she must have known something about Jesus. She'd heard enough stories about his ministry that she runs up to him and says to him, "Lord, Son of David, my daughter is severely demon-possessed." She wanted to take advantage of the fact that Messiah was there. He was in town. She heard about him. But Jesus did not say a word. Jesus put her on hold. Verse 23. "But he answered her not a word. The disciples came and they urged him, saying, 'Send her away, for she cries after us.'" Wow. Kind of shows you where the disciples were. I can imagine in my mind that she didn't just ask Jesus once. I think she kept asking him several times. "Lord, Son of David, please help me. I have this daughter, this demon-possessed. I need help." And Jesus not saying a word. And the disciples, they're listening and they're watching. And they're saying, this is getting kind of embarrassing, you know. This woman is causing trouble. She's not one of us. And so that's what the disciples said. They turned to Jesus, "Send her away. She's not one of us." Disciples urged to send her away. What do you do when God puts you on hold? Point number one that I get out of this little story. Point number one, keep on trusting Jesus. Don't give up. Keep on trusting in Jesus. You've got to keep on trusting God, who has always been faithful in our past. Always. I've never known a time when God was not faithful. I've never known a case that was too difficult for Jesus. With God, nothing is impossible. Keep on trusting Jesus. The woman gets the silent treatment. Does that mean that Jesus didn't care? Does that mean Jesus was unconcerned, uncaring? The woman's not going to go away. She just kept on trusting Jesus. She believed that Jesus would eventually speak, and she stayed there and kept asking. And that's what we have to do ourselves. Keep on trusting Jesus. When God puts you on hold, just remember, He really has a word for you, so keep on. Stay on the line, if you will. Now, maybe your answer is not going to be immediately, but He will answer. I've heard someone say, you know, He may not answer this moment. He may not answer this day, this week, this month, this year. He may not answer till He comes. But He will answer. Don't let go. Don't let go. Keep praying. Keep reading the Scripture, because He has a message for you. You ever looked at the Bible and seen how many God's people had to wait? How many of them were put on hold? I think of Job. Mama mia. Lost his family. Lost his wealth. Lost his confidence in his wife. But he hung on. He did not hang up. What about Abraham? 100 years before he had a son. God put him on hold for 100 years. Promised him a son. How about the prophets? How long had they preached about the coming of the Messiah? How long did they wait? Did you know between the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, and the first book, Matthew, 400 years? And all that time before that? Promise of the Messiah? Yes, God puts us on hold sometimes, but we must trust Him. Keep on trusting Jesus, because He's going to speak. There's only one time in Scriptures that I can remember or recall when God did not speak. And that's when Jesus was on the cross. He says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why? And God didn't speak. Matter of fact, He didn't answer. But you know what? Jesus trusted His Father. And Jesus says, Father, into Thy hands I commit my spirit. Jesus was not going to let go. He's not going to let go. He trusted God. Then verse 44, it finally says, but Jesus, He answered, and He says, well, was I not sent out to the lost sheep of Israel? Jesus, I was sent out to the lost sheep of Israel. Now, so far we've heard two voices. The first voice we heard was, Lord, have mercy on me. The second voice we heard was, send her away. Jesus didn't send her away. But He did say, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. That's His promise. And here Jesus says, I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel. Jesus is not saying that there's no blessing for her. He's not saying that. He's not saying there's only blessings for the children of Israel. He's not saying that salvation was only for the Jews. He was saying that God had first sent Him to Israel, to the Jewish people. First. There's other scriptures to support that. You're probably aware of them. Jesus called His disciples and sent them out to preach to the Jews only. Matthew chapter 10, verse 1 through 6 tells us that. Then Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. To who first? To the Jews first, and also to the Greek. So it's not about superiority, it's about priority. Try and think of it that way. Doesn't it make sense to let your own folks know first? You got this special message? Who are you going to tell first? I'll tell you who I tell first. I call up my sons, my daughter. I tell them right away. Does that mean I'm going to tell anybody else? No, I'm going to share with everybody. You know, if you look at your bulletin real close, I don't have to share because, you know, look at her. Isn't she a beautiful great-grandmother? Not just a grandma, a great-grandmother. What, 2 weeks now? Week? Something like that. Jesus made it clear. Israel was lost, our lost sheep, and he has a message for them. The entire nation of Israel was lost. Now comes our second point. You ready? First one is keep trusting in Jesus. The second one, take inventory to where you stand with God. Take inventory, where do we stand with God? Where did Israel stand with God? Jesus says they were lost. Yeah, but wait. I'm a Jew. How can I be lost? What difference does that make? But I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. I'm God's appointed agency, this last day message. What difference does that make? Yeah. Without Jesus, friends, we're all lost in our sins. Every one of us. Look at the woman's approach to God. She says, O Lord, thou son of David. She comes to Jesus in a Jewish approach. That is Jewish. Jewish thought was the Messiah was coming, the son of David. The disciples said, send her away. She's not one of us. She's not Jewish. And Jesus even says, I come to talk to the children of Israel first, the lost sheep of Israel. Note the next thing that the lady says. That's what's interesting to me. The next thing that the lady says, and she came and she worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Help me. She's now dropped the title Son of David. She's dropped her Jewish approach. She's got on her knees. She's helpless and humble. And she says, Lord, help me. No pretending anymore. It's just me, Lord, a nobody. Help me. When God puts you on hold, take inventory where you stand before God. What are you holding on to the Lord for approval? Jesus did not meet her need based on her nice, kind words. Neither did Jesus meet the need of Nicodemus when he addressed Jesus with the title, Oh, no man can do these things except God be with him. Jesus says, that's nice, yet you need to be born again. Your outstanding theological, Nicodemus, your outstanding theological evaluations will get you nowhere. We do not come to Jesus through a Jewish door. We do not come to Jesus through a Seventh-day Adventist door. Sorry. We do not come to Jesus through a Methodist door. We do not come to Jesus through a Pentecostal door. We come to Jesus through a sinner's door. Humbled. Begging. you please. That's the only way we get to Jesus. So when God puts you on hold, keep on trusting Jesus. Take inventory of where you stand. And third, surrender to God your whole life. Your whole life. That's what the woman did. And what was Jesus' answer? But he answered and he said, it's not good to take children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Some of us kind of say, ouch. Ouch. But you know, Jesus is not being respectful here. He's not being disrespectful. Matter of fact, I can't help but think that he probably looked at the woman and he may have had a little smirk on his mouth. You know? Kind of encouraged her a little bit. You know, he didn't say, you know, you're a dog, get out of here. And he answered, he says, well, it's not good to take children's bread and throw it to the little dogs. Kind of smiled, egging her on. It's true that Gentiles were often referred to as dogs by the Jews. But Jesus wasn't calling her a dog. He was but using the word that was often given to the Gentiles. And what's this woman's reply? Take a look at it, verse 27. And he said, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. She says, I'll just take the crumbs, Jesus. Call me what you want. I don't care. I have a daughter who is desperately hurting. And this woman was confessing her total dependence and need on God. Totally. Do you place certain conditions on God to meet your needs? You know, I'm not going to be called those derogatory names, thank you. I'm not going to eat the crumbs that fall off the table. Unfortunately, many people miss the blessings of God because they don't refuse to humble themselves. But not this woman. Lord, call me what you want. Place me anywhere around the table you wish. Place me on the table. Place me under the table. Place me on the floor with the dogs. Lord, just help me. Reminds me of Jacob hanging on to the angel until he was blessed. I'll take the crumbs if necessary, she says, because I'm depending upon you. The Desire of Ages say, if she may have the privilege of a dog, she was willing to be regarded as a dog. She had no national or religious prejudice or pride to influence her course. And she immediately acknowledges Jesus as Redeemer and as being able to do all that she asks of him. What faith is that? Mercy. And Jesus' response, I love it. And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is thy faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. She went home and found a well daughter. Completely healed. So whenever you believe that God has put you on hold, whenever you feel like you're waiting and waiting and waiting, keep trusting Jesus because he'll never forsake you. What is the Lord saying about your life? Are you holding on to someone or something other than Jesus? Let Jesus have his way with our entire lives. Let him have his way. Surrender it all to Jesus. Allow Jesus to be Lord of your life. Lord of your life. Whenever you're on hold, if you will commit all to Jesus, He will speak to your personal need. He will speak peace to your heart. He will give you strength to your trying days, wisdom in what to do in given situation. His presence is in time. His presence in the time of loneliness, He will be there. He will give you courage when you are forsaken. Whatever the need is, Jesus is all you need. Is it salvation? Jesus, your Savior. Is it comfort? He's your comforter. Is it advice? He's your counselor. Is it healing? He's your healer. If it's wisdom, Jesus is your teacher. Jesus is right for whatever is wrong in your life. Will you place your faith in Jesus completely? Jesus said, "Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt." Great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. When you're on hold, when you have to wait for an answer, keep your eyes on Jesus. Keep your faith in God. Desire of Ages. Page 403, against discouragement, regardless of appearance that might have led her to doubt, she trusted the Savior's love. It is thus that Christ desires us to trust Him. The blessings of salvation are for every soul. For every soul. I'd like to ask the ushers to help me out now. And pass out the Connect card. I want everyone to take a Connect card. They're going to go down the aisles and they're going to count the number of people and they're going to give you one of these cards. Because now it's time for you to respond. You know? Do you want to trust Jesus with everything you have? Everything? Or do you want to hold on to some things? So make sure everybody gets a card. Just count the people in the cards. Give us time. All of you filled out. And while they're handing that out, just remember, when God puts you on hold, number one, keep trusting Jesus. Take inventory of where you stand with God and surrender your whole life to God. As you're getting these cards, I want to make one comment about these cards. A couple weeks ago we used them. They're a little bit different every time we use them. I was very excited about the response. The cards came in. We had many prayer requests, which we gave to our prayer warriors at prayer meeting, and you people were prayed for. We had requests for studies on baptisms, which I praise God for. We had requests for visits. Thank you. Now, here's the challenge. My wife is quite happy today. She's quite excited today because I told her last night, you see, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, I was sick. And I told her last night, if I don't feel better in the morning, you're preaching. So she's quite excited. So I praise the Lord. Well, because of that and other things, I have not gotten to everybody that answered the card. But I promise you, give me a chance, I will answer your cards. If you want a visit, if you want studies, whatever it is you need, we will answer your card. These are not just time for you just to fill out and we just throw them aside. We follow up on these cards. And I just ask you to just fill in your name. If you're a first-time visitor, praise God. Address, everything else here, your age group. And then tomorrow, the other side of the card is where it's your turn. It's your turn. My next step today is one. I want to trust Jesus with all my heart. Check that off if you do. Or I want to replace discouragement with cheerfulness. I think that young lady went home happy, cheerful, excited. The third one, I said, I wish to completely surrender my life to Jesus. And then there's other things you may be interested in. Prayer request right on the card. When the offering's taken up, put the card in with the offering. And friends, my last word. When Jesus puts you on hold, trust him. He will never let you down. Time for our offering.
Our offering this morning is for our church budget. I know that you all have a bulletin.